But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with how PBS reruns influence the executive branch's policies. Move on to a desperate attempt to make a deal that goes hilariously wrong. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, How Incompetent Are DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and FBI Director Kash Patel. Let's begin, shall we? Well, the plot has thickened on the last season of the United States of America. And for those of you paying attention, are you as torn as I am? Because on the one hand, Newark Mayor Raz Baraka was arrested outside a newly flipped ICE detention center for trespassing after he left the premises. See, Raz had been trying to get into said detention center to conduct an oversight visit for the past few days, and only after his third attempt, while accompanied by three members of a congressional delegation, was Raz able to get in after waiting an additional 90 minutes. Probably because Schittler's Meal Team Gestapo have delusions of privilege, considering that Raz and his congressional buddies were all black. Just saying. So after finally getting in to see the inside of this cheaply flipped and without a permit to house undocumented migrants ICE prison in Newark, Raz and the elected officials walked out of the building, even got past the concentration-style fencing, was standing completely outside the premises and on public property when Raz was roughed the fuck up and arrested for trespassing by about 10 or 15 fast food shaped goons with masks over their face, wearing camo and armed like they were overcompensating for a father who didn't love them, as well as leaving a, well, that was a fascism taste in a lot of people's mouths. And then there's the fact that
that was rude. That was pretty fucking rude.
And while the racistly and misogynistic and super scary fact that they're arresting a black city mayor after arresting a woman district court judge just a week before has been lost on no one paying any sort of attention, this actually happened.
President Donald Trump says he will reopen and expand Alcatraz Prison. The notorious former prison is on a hard-to-reach island that's been closed for more than 60 years.
U.S. President Donald Trump has directed officials to rebuild and reopen the notorious Alcatraz Prison on an island near San Francisco's Golden Gate.
It's been closed now for nearly 60 years, and that was because of the difficulty in sending resources, supplies, fuel, food over to Alcatraz off of San Francisco.
It's long been a symbol, Alcatraz, of whatever it is.
How did you decide to reopen Alcatraz? Can you walk us through that decision? How did you come up with the idea?
Well, I guess I was supposed to be a movie maker. We started with the movie making and we'll end. I mean, Alcatraz is, I would say, the ultimate, right? Alcatraz, Sing Sing and Alcatraz, the movies. You look at it, it's sort of, you saw that picture that was put out, it's sort of amazing.
I don't know if he's watching The Rock or what inspired this.
This past Saturday, while Donald Trump was staying at Mar-a-Lago, the local public station just so happened to be playing Escape from Alcatraz on air.
What? The actual fuck? So this is how our governmental policy is now decided, huh? Mar-a-Lardo spends $1 million of taxpayer money weekends at his retirement home in Florida, watching a rerun of the 1979 movie Escape from Alcatraz on PBS. And now we have to find $3 to $5 million in taxpayer money to restore Alcatraz to its former horror? And not for nothing. But I'll bet old man Donald came up with this senile scheme because Venezuelan President Bukaki has suddenly started asking for evidence of the crimes committed by the migrants the Open Office sent and wants to continue sending to CECOT. Ever since the United Nations explained Venezuela's schmucktator needs to understand they will not be funding his country if he continues to operate a concentration camp for Save-A-Lot Stalin. Hence why we are hearing about migrants maybe deported to Libya or Rwanda in the near future. But I want to circle back on how this whole reopen the most expensive prison in United States history comb over scheme came into being, because Tangerine Palpatine was curled up with a 10-piece watching PBS. The same PBS he recently declared defunded by Executive Sharpie.
Bad news for Muppet lovers and Fresh Air aficionados.
President Trump signed an executive order cutting federal money to PBS and NPR. Now, on social media, the president posting, quote, these outlets receive millions from taxpayers to, quote, spread radical woke propaganda disguised as news.
About 10% of NPR's funding comes from direct or indirect federal funding, and about 15% of PBS's comes from federal government funding.
What this executive order, as we understand it, would not only not allow any of that funding to come to us, but they're also trying to restrict what our local stations are able to do. We were created by our member stations to do for them at scale what individual stations couldn't do by themselves. Create a NewsHour and a Sesame Street and a Mr. Rogers and Ken Burns' great work and Nova and so forth. So we do that together. We're going to fight this, obviously. This would have enormous impact on our 330 stations around the country and their ability to provide content to people that enjoy our work and that value our work.
And I know my mother, like many mothers in the 1980s, valued the fuck out of PBS, because I watched all of Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers, The Electric Company. I loved that shit so much that I showed it to my kids, along with cartoons like Cyber Chase and Martha Speaks, Word Girl, because they weren't around when I was a young warthog. It made me and my kids smarter, more empathetic, more conscious of the place that we have in this world. All good and positive shit for the next generation to take with them as they navigate the future. But President Petty as Fuck said no. No, because apparently all of their programming is woke and definitely has nothing to do with the fact that Sesame Street has been making fun of the over bronze trash can for nearly 40 years.
Why, you're the grouch who built a swamp in a day when nobody else could do it.
That's me.
I'm Donald Grump, and I have more trash than all of you, so yeah, 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 yeah.
His name is on every piece of trash in town.
I'm looking for an apprentice, a helper.
In 1988, Sesame Street incorporated Donald Trump into episode 2399 as Ronald Grump.
What do you want?
Grump's the name, Ronald Grump, and I'm a grouch builder.
Ronald gives Oscar 3 bags of trash to turn his can into
a building made of trash cans. I call it Grump Tower.
We don't want that monstrosity on this spot.
Okay, I'll do it.
Now, is it more likely the woke deep state was working a multi-decade witch hunt on Trump, or that Trump has been a well-known grifter and charlatan for all of his adult life?
Oh, I know the answer. It's because Von Shits and Pants has been conning people out of money for all of his adult life. Whether it was by not paying contractors, selling mark the fuck up crap made in China, or bullshit he called universities. Oh, and then there's tapping his longtime Ruski investors for help winning the 2026 election. And let's not forget about the magical way Ketamine Coward used Starlink to make sure the tiny-handed grifter had another go at being the orangest dictator ever. Which led to even more grifting, like this IRL example of the art of the deal.
President Trump says he has a trade deal with the United Kingdom. This agreement would be the first of its kind since the White House imposed widespread tariffs on countries all around the world. Kristen, just how significant is today's announcement?
Well, Wolf, it depends on what you mean by the word significant.
Like everything in life, and especially with Donald Trump, it's always a good idea to read the fine print. Today, Team Trump touted a trade deal with the UK, the first of what they claim will be many, many, quote, beautiful deals. But not only does the administration's 10% tariff remain in place, our trade deal with the UK is a relative drop in the bucket, amounting to just under 3% of total U.S. trade in the first quarter of 2025. The governments have agreed to drop tariffs on specific products.
We took it from 25 to 10 on Rolls-Royce because Rolls-Royce is not going to be built here.
What we are hearing right now is that this deal between the two countries is not actually going to be anywhat majorly significant. For example, we've heard it's limited in scope, that it is heavy on future commitments. In fact, when I talk to administration officials and allies of the president, they seem somewhat desperate to get a trade deal on the table.
No shit, Sherlock. And if this UK deal is any indication of how Crimes the Clown negotiates, then the art of the deal is the dealer gets screwed. For the American consumers, Genghis Khan secured a minimum of 10% tariffed increase on prices for all UK goods coming into the United States. As opposed to the reduction in tariffs on US goods shipped across the pond to customers in the UK, as well as lowering U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminium, whatever the fuck that is. Basically, Erikstad lowered costs for the UK while keeping costs up for Americans unless they're buying a Jaguar or Rolls-Royce, which we all know every American is thinking about doing, am I right?
You done messed up, Aaron!
And if we're being totally honest, this whole deal extravaganza promised by the Trump regime in the first 100 torturous days has been nothing more than the worst shit show on earth, starting with the marketing.
We've got 90 deals in 90 days possibly pending.
The president says, I've made 200 deals. Then you ask, you've made 200 deals? And then the president says, 100%. And then you ask, I think shrewdly, can you share with whom? And then the president says, because the deal is a deal that I choose.
We have 100 countries that are knocking on the door.
I believe that he is referring to sub-deals within the negotiations we're doing.
It is an agreement in concept. There's a lot of details to be worked out.
India, South Korea, Japan, I think are on the cusp of being blueprints that they lay out pretty soon.
We've seen sketches of deals.
This source told me that the deals would be in the form of LOIs, or letters of intent.
According to Politico, the agreements are likely closer to memorandums of understanding.
Well, more like some old bullshit. Because this timeline is giving, I started a trade war with every country in the world, including islands where only penguins live, so I could get more money out of them, and it's not working. First, the Fanta-fascist declares 145% tariffs on everything coming from China. Then he publicly announces China is begging him for a deal, which prompts China to respond, no the fuck we aren't. So now Geert Wilders is offering a discount on the 145% tariffs he opposed on China, lowering them to 80%, because that's not at all what a desperate lumbering lardass does when he wants to make a deal. I mean, any deal, especially since what's happening with the country of Mattel.
Mattel, I don't know. I'm not so sure. They also said they're the only country I've heard. They said, well, we're going to go counter. We're going to try going someplace else. That's okay. Let him go, and we'll put 100% tariff on his toys, and he won't sell one toy in the United States, and that's their biggest market. I heard that. I mean, I watched this guy talking about how I'm going to go counter. I said, well, I wouldn't want to have him as an executive too long.
A sentiment millions of Americans share about you, dumbass. I get that you do your best policy machinations while you're rage posting on the toilet at 3 a.m. surrounded by classified documents, or while watching movies on PBS at your retirement home in Florida, surrounded by gilding you clearly bought at Home Depot and just spray painted gold. But someone in your regime who doesn't have a Cheeto dusting covering their lips really should tell you a few things. Like, the Barbie movie was not a National Geographic documentary. And you should facilitate the release of Ken immediately.
This is Maya May reporting live from the country of Mattel, where President Trump is set to meet with President Barbie to discuss the potential release of Ken, who is being held without due process in CECOT. According to Ice Barbie, Ken has tattoos that are indicative of his membership in MS-13.
clearly another Photoshop job courtesy of the HB1 douches working for phony Stark, while also highlighting just how incompetent mine incompetent is at making deals with any country, whether they exist or not. Case in point, the newly elected Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, made a visit to the moldy sack of oranges occupying the White House for a photo op in the Oval, where the aroma is overstuffed depends and the national diplomacy was shit.
Mr. President, you have said that Canada should become the 51st state.
No. No, no. Well, I still believe that, but you know, it takes two to tango, right? But no, I do. You know, I'm a real estate developer at heart. When you get rid of that artificially drawn line, somebody drew that line many years ago with like a ruler, just a straight line right across the top of the country. When you look at that beautiful formation when it's together, I'm a very artistic person. But when I looked at that beauty, I said, that's the way it was meant to be. But we're not going to be discussing that unless somebody wants to discuss it.
Well, if I may, as you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale.
That's true.
We're sitting in one right now, you know, Buckingham Palace, that you visited as well.
That's true.
Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale, won't be for sale ever. But the opportunity is in the partnership and what we can build together.
Never say never. Never say never.
That's what Canada is not for sale actually means. You're never gonna get it. And just for shits and historical facts, the boundary between our two countries was established in 1908 by Canada's mummy England and the United States. That's who drew the line. England and the US. For fuck's sake, read a fucking book that's more than five pages full of pictures before your mouth vomit any thought bubble that's floating around in your huge orange-tinted excuse for a head. Mattel, by the way, is a corporation, not a country. And Canada already has a great military. By the way, better healthcare than Republicans would ever give us here in the United States. And the best part of all of this is that the rest of the world isn't convinced Mark Carney is pathetically trying to be the third reason the entire world goes to war. And not because the fascist rhetoric coming out of this regime is as dumbed down version of Nazi Germany ideology, but because the people running this fascist reboot are impressively stupid. Take, for example, the next U.S. Surgeon General brought to you by the brainworm cosplaying as Hoggle from Labyrinth that's running the HHS.
Well, there's been a shakeup in Trump's picks for Surgeon General. Dr. Jeanette Neshiwat is out and Dr. Casey Means is in.
The White House withdrawing the pick for Surgeon General days after right-wing activist Laura Loomer expressed dissatisfaction with the choice.
Donald Trump taps wellness influencer close to RFK Jr. for Surgeon General. Her name is Dr. Casey Means, though she is not a licensed medical doctor. She is an online holistic wellness influencer.
This overwhelming amount of sugar we're eating is leading our bodies to be underpowered on the physiologic level, meaning literally a dimming of our life force.
I bet that one vaccine probably isn't causing autism. But what about the 20 that they're getting before 18 months?
I want to be able to form a relationship with a local farmer, understand his integrity, look him in the eyes, pet his cow, and then understand if I can drink his milk.
Can you explain why you picked her?
Because Bobby thought she was fantastic. Bobby really thought she was great. I don't know her. I listened to the recommendation of Bobby.
Casey Means, we felt, was the best person to really bring the vision of MAHA to the American public. She's written a book. She is an extraordinary, she is excellence in everything that she's ever endeavored.
Obviously, she's come under her own criticism. She never finished her residency, and she doesn't currently have an active medical license.
She was the very top of her medical class at Stanford. She's in every, during her residency, she won every award that she could win. She walked away from traditional medicine because she was not curing patients.
Okay, aside from the fact that you sound like every breath you take could possibly be your last, could it be that the reason Casey wasn't curing patients is because A, You have to have a license. You have to be a licensed physician to have patients. And secondly, Casey never had any patients. She dropped out of her residency as a surgeon for whatever reason she's currently using to cover up for the fact that her D-average academics and conspiracy-soaked mind couldn't cut it in the operating room. So she turned to the wacky world of alternative medicine and food tracking apps, where all hacks go to grift a buck off the poorly educated. The perfect trailer park setting for Casey, and the biggest Kennedy embarrassment to meet up and form a bond that turned out to be really bad for the rest of the country. Because now America's doctor is a 37-year-old medical science-denying quack who couldn't make it as a surgeon, so she became a snake oil salesman. But then again, we are talking about the same regime that put Dr. Oz in charge of Medicare. So I guess that tracks. And while we're on the subject of unqualified people running the government, Ice Barbie herself recently decided to grace the House Budget Committee with her presence and her filler-stuffed excuse for a face, which turned out to be the second funniest thing that happened at that hearing. Because after starting off strong, refusing to respond to a due process question,
"Do you believe that the Constitution grants everyone in our country the right to due process, including non-citizens?"
"The administration has the authority to..."
"Ma'am, I'm looking for a yes or no question. Yes or no. Do you believe the Constitution..." "Yes, ma'am. Do you..."
"Reclaiming my time,
Mr. Chairman."
"Time is yours."
"Okay. Secretary Noem, I'm just looking for a yes or no here. Do you believe the Constitution guarantees due process to everyone in America?"
"Due process is exactly what this Congress
lays
out." "Yes
or no?" "Okay, ma'am, I'll take that as a no."
Damn, I'm surprised Puppy Killer Gnome was able to slur out so many words from those incredibly stretched out lips and yet say nothing at all. She went to all that work just to regurgitate talking points to a member of Congress who's just trying to get an answer to a very simple question about due process. A question that should be easy to answer, since we're all in agreement that we should assume Shoot a Dog Gnome can read, right? Specifically the 14th Amendment, where it says the government shall not deprive, quote, "any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law." Not U.S. citizens, not people legally in the United States. The U.S. Constitution says persons, meaning Kilmar Abrego Garcia and the hundreds of other people you kidnapped and trafficked to El Salvador. And for a list of illegal activity this dog killer is guilty of as head of Homeland Security, here is Senator Chris Murphy.
Your department is out of control. You are spending like you don't have a budget. You're on the verge of running out of money for the fiscal year. You are on track to trigger the Anti-Deficiency Act. That means you are going to spend more money than you've been allocated by Congress. This is a rare occurrence, and it is wildly illegal. Your agency will be broke by July. You are illegally refusing to spend funds that have been authorized by this Congress and appropriated by this committee. To fund the border, you have illegally gutted spending for cybersecurity. As we speak, Russian and Chinese hackers are having a field day. You've withdrawn funds for disaster prevention. Storms are going to kill more people in this country because of your illegal withholding of these funds. You cannot cancel spending in this program, and you cannot use the funds as you have to fund other things, like ICE. Your policy is to treat migrants badly, but the primary reason why encounters are down is because you are brazenly violating the law every hour of every day. You are refusing to allow people showing up at the southern border to apply for asylum. You are ignoring the immigration laws of this nation, implementing a brand new immigration system that you have invented that has little relation to the statutes that you are required, that you are commanded to follow. You are routinely violating the rights of immigrants who may not be citizens, but whether you like it or not, they have constitutional and statutory rights when they reside in the United States. What you are doing, both the individuals who have legal rights to stay here, like Kilmar Abrego Garcia, or students who are just protesting Trump's policies, is immoral, and to follow the theme, it is illegal. Now, reports suggest that you are planning to remove immigrants with no due process and send them to prisons in Libya. sending migrants with pending asylum claims into a war zone just because it's cruel is so deeply disturbing.
And that's not the only disturbing thing about Plastic Gnome, besides the fact that she spends other people's money like it's infinite, and it's kind of her jam. When Filler Lips Gnome was governor of South Dakota, she had a history of wasting taxpayer money on all sorts of stupid shit, like $150,000 in personal trips to visit old yam tits down in Florida. And that's on top of $640,000 South Dakotan taxpayer dollars she used to hang out with Pervert Hoover during the 2024 election season. So my friends, why would the bank account of DHS be any different? Besides, this feckless bitch is just following in the unserious footsteps of her colleagues over at the Legion of Doom, formerly known as the U.S. government. Take the nation's luckiest incel, Kash Patel, who went from yelling dumb shit into a microphone for his however many 10 podcast listeners to becoming the first director of the FBI to have resting, oh shit face, complete with eyes that are always threatening to pop out, but never more so than at the last budget committee hearing, where Kash learned a very valuable lesson he probably would have learned in grade school if he had attended that class. And the lesson is, don't show up to a budget meeting without your budget, dumbass.
This hearing is being held without the FBI's fiscal year 2025 spend plan. The spend plan is required by law. It was due to Congress over a week ago. We have not yet seen it. It is critical that we understand how you are spending taxpayer dollars. When will we get it?
I'll get you an answer, ma'am. I don't have a timeline on that.
It was due last week, by law.
I understand.
And your answer is you just understand. You're not going to follow the law?
My answer is that I am following the law, and I'm working with my interagency partners to do this and get you the budget that you are required to have.
And you have no timeline?
No.
So, Director Patel, where is the FY 2026 budget request for the FBI?
It's being worked on, ma'am.
Have you reviewed it? Have you approved it?
Not yet.
When will we get it?
As soon as I can get it from my interagency partners and get it approved.
6 months from now?
I don't know, ma'am. I'm not going to make
it. Well, how do we as Congress do our budget and our work without that request and without the spend plan?
Well, ma'am, I'm here. I'm doing the best I can. I can't make up answers. I'm going to commit to you to work on getting you the information you need.
That is insufficient and deeply disturbing.
I'm not asking you for anything at this time.
You can operate without a budget?
I never said that.
You stupid wide-eyed fucktard. You're sitting at the House Budget Committee hearing. What the fuck else are you there to talk about other than the money that you want Congress to give the FBI for the next fiscal year? Perhaps if you weren't spending taxpayer money on trips to watch UFC fights in Las Vegas and Tennessee, New York, or shortening your daily briefings from 5 days a work week to just two because you're out of the office the other 3 days. Not to mention, when you do show up to the office, you're perpetually late, missing crucial meetings because you were up all night before hanging out with your buddy Wayne Gretzky. So you'd still be grossly unqualified to take the trash out at any McDonald's in the DC area, not to mention the biggest disaster to ever happen to the FBI. And they were started by Herbert Hoover. But at least Herbie didn't have emotional outbursts during a congressional hearing because he was called out for writing a slam book complete with an enemies list like Impotent Patel did.
In your book, your recent book, Government Gangsters, you include an appendix with a list of names that people have referred to as an enemies list. The president calls this a brilliant roadmap, a blueprint. It concerns me how many people from this blueprint have been targeted with executive orders and FBI investigations. And I am concerned that your eagerness, a childlike giddiness to carry out the president's revenge tour, you've shown yourself to be unserious in your statements before you were sworn in and some after. You've shown yourself unfit to lead this important agency.
Ma'am, you want to know who was targeted by a weaponized FBI? Me.
That I think it's interesting that in your proposal today, you find yourself at a gulf of difference between you and the president. Will you go to the president and say we need $11.2 billion? You're asking for more than $1 billion than the president's request. Are you going to go to the president and straighten out that gulf?
I'll do what I've always done and represent the American people, defend this country, and make sure the Constitution is always upheld and the FBI is never weaponized. Maybe you should do the same.
So you agree with the president when he says he doesn't know if he should uphold his constitutional duty?
If you want to just keep putting words in my mouth, the TV cameras are outside.
I thank you. I yield back. Again, this is an unserious moment, sadly, for the FBI. I yield back.
More so for you.
Wow. So tell me you're a whiny little bitch who can't do his job because he's unqualified to even clean toilets without telling me your favorite color of lipstick is Cheeto orange. You showed up to a budget hearing without a budget. And you're the sad little man refusing to discuss the enemies list you added to a book that you had published through some backwoods Christian publishing company. Because who else would publish incoherent nonsense? Just give it to the Jesus freaks. They'll write it. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. We're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Audible, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.